ignition sequence start. 3, 2, 1.
Range is hot. Lock and load. It's time for the Gun Rack with your hosts, Joey and Drew.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gun Rack, Sonoran Desert Institute School of Firearms Technology's official podcast. I am Drew Poplin with you here today. I hope everyone is having a good week so far, and hope everyone enjoyed our firearms draft episode last week. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it. It's about an hour and 30 minutes, so it's definitely a beast, but I feel like it went really well. I'm really happy with how it turned out. And I've gotten some good feedback from everyone so far. And it seems like people have been digging it. So that's good. So I hope you guys have been too. Things are incredibly busy. So this week we're doing another history of a firearms episode. But before we get into that, let me talk about SDI. Sonoran Desert Institute SDI is an online school that helps students learn the skills and techniques that they'll need to be successful in the firearms and unmanned technology industries. SDI is accredited by the Distance Education Accrediting Commission, the DEAC. Currently, we offer 3 programs in firearms technology. We have the Associate of Science in Firearms Technology, the Certificate in Firearms Technology Gunsmithing, and finally, the Certificate in Firearms Technology Handgun Specialist Program. Now, if you want any information about any of those programs, please head to our website. That's www.sdi.edu, and you can find out more information. So let's hop right into this. Today, we are talking about the Dreyse Needle Gun. I imagine a fair few of you have heard of the firearm and at least know why it's famous. But for those of you that don't know, or for those who want to know a little bit more, feel free to stick around. Some of my sources for this article, Jack Collins, which is one of our blog writers here at SDI, he wrote a blog post about the Dreyse needle gun a couple years ago. I'm going to say maybe 2 years ago. So that's going to be one of my chief sources. We also have an article by AmericanRifleman.org by Gary James posted last October about the Dreyse. So I'm also consulting that, along with an article by Max von Bargen from Ohio State University, and Hamza, and I'm so sorry if I butcher your name, Hamza Elshankakari from Georgian Southern University. And he is the person I got a lot of the historical context for the Dreyse's creation from. So let's hop right in. It was developed and created by Johann Nicholas von Dreyse. Johann was born near Erfurt, Germany in 1787, and his dad was a locksmith. So you can kind of see the connection there with, you know, sort of the engineering mind. From 1809 to 1814, he worked in a gun factory in Paris under Jean-Samuel Pauli. My French is awful. My German is a little bit better than my French in terms of pronunciations. So if we have any French listeners or, I don't know, French Canadian listeners, you might want to just close your ears for this one. But Jean-Samuel Pauli was known for designing several experimental breech-loading rifles. This would become important later on down the road. Now, in 1824, Johann returned home and he founded a company that specialized in manufacturing percussion caps. About 6 years later, he started developing and creating the Dreyse needle rifle there in his factory. Now, after he created the rifle, not a lot is known about him other than that he died in 1867. But let's rewind a little bit to talk about its development. Now, back in 1815, Napoleon's attempt at conquest was finally put down with the Second Treaty of Paris. While the short-term effects were noticeable, they would pale in comparison to the long-term ramifications of, you know, what happened. After all, with Napoleonic France no longer being the massive threat it was under Napoleon, this created a power vacuum in Europe. And so that meant countries were eager to start asserting their dominance in the wake of this. And amongst these powers were the Prussians. Prussia and the German states as a whole, they had taken a pretty good beating from Napoleon during the Napoleonic Wars, so much so that many Germans, you know, kind of started resigning themselves to essentially being French or Austrian. Now, eventually a new movement would arise, and this was led partially by Ernst Moritz Arndt, who was a German poet. He said, quote, "Let the unanimity of your hearts be your church. Let hatred of the French be your religion. Let freedom and fatherland be your saints to whom you pray." Nationalism was rising in the German states, which is scary as a 21st century reader, because we know what happens when German nationalism rises. Ultimately, Prussia, who was under the leadership of Friedrich William III of Prussia, would come to be seen basically as the savior of Germany itself. Meanwhile, Prussia, they still had ambitions of furthering their power, especially amongst the other German states. Now, back in 1830, Dreyse had been developing a new rifle, and this would eventually lead to the Prussians adopting this new rifle for military use in 1941. And they called it the Leichtes Percussiongewehr Model 1841. Now, what was the Dreyse needle gun? Well, let's talk about some of its specs real quick. It fired a 15.4 millimeter paper cartridge, had a barrel length of about 36 inches, had a rate of fire, 6 to 12 rounds per minute, depending on its operator. Most I've seen, you know, probably about 7 or 8, normally. It was single shot, had an effective range of 200 meters, a muzzle velocity of 100 feet per second, and its action, which is kind of famous, it's what it's most known for, is that it was a breech-loading bolt-action rifle in early 1840, which is crazy. The original Dreyse was developed as a muzzleloader initially, but then the design would eventually be updated by Dreyse to be a breech-loading rifle. And he was one of the first people to use this method, to use the breech-loading method of action. And I'm going to quote directly from our article on our website. To load it, a shooter would open the break and insert a paper cartridge. This cartridge held black powder, a percussion cap, and a 15.4 millimeter bullet. Then the operator would close the breech. It was then ready to fire. By pulling the trigger, the needle would shoot forward and hit the percussion cap, igniting the powder in the cartridge and forcing it forward through the barrel. Experienced operator could fire the gun between 16 and 12 times per minute. It offered an advantage over muzzleloaders since soldiers could reload it while kneeling. So it was tested in 1840 by the Prussians after, you know, it was went through successful testing. It was officially adopted in 1841. And the Prussian king, which was Friedrich Wilhelm IV, ordered 60,000 of these Dreyse rifles. However, by 1848, Dreyse's factory was only able to produce 45,000 rifles. But it would get its first taste of action during the revolutions in Germany over 1849. Goodness gracious. Sorry, folks. After its performance during the May Uprising of 1849, other states in Germany would start to adopt the rifle. I saw a clip from a film. I do not know the name of the movie. I'm so sorry. So if anyone is listening and can identify it, let me know. But I saw a clip, and it was the Bavarians testing out the Dreyse and being very impressed. So that was just something to tie in. I thought it was very interesting to see. So other German states started adopting the rifle, but with this saw an increase in orders. And with this, Dreyse continued to struggle to keep up with the amount of rifles that were being asked of him to produce. Eventually, this led to Dreyse letting the state manufacture the rifles, and which did see an increase in production. Furthermore, there'd be an increase in Prussian army funding, and this was courtesy of Wilhelm I, and this would result in the Dreyse playing a pivotal role in the upcoming campaigns. So now they were equipped with superior technology like the Dreyse, and they were driven by this wave of nationalism, high morale. The Prussians started winning more wars. In 1864, they defeated the Danish. Led by Otto von Bismarck, they're able to defeat their longtime rivals, Austria. And during this, they were equipped with 270,000 Dreyser rifles. So yeah, that money and the state production really helped them in this case. In this war, the Austro-Prussian War, there's a lot of factors that played into that. Obviously, the Dreyser played a role and the superior technology. Like, the Dreyser at that point was about 20 years old, and the Austrians were still using mainly muzzle loaders. Tactics played a role. You know, I mentioned that the effective range of the Dreyser was only 200 meters. Well, this helped when the Austrians kept favoring bayonet charges. So, you know, the Austrians would come in close, and because they were able to put out a high rate of fire, the Prussians, they put in work. So the Prussians still continued. Many of the German states that Prussia would start occupying were actually grateful with this. They were jubilant. They saw Prussia kind of as their saviors. And now the eyes of Prussian and the Northern German alliance, I believe that's what it's called, their eyes would start to turn to another foe who had been a thorn in their side for a very long time, and that was France. Now, France, it was pretty integral to their policy that Germany needed to be weak in order for France's national security to be strong. Now, the Germans, they needed France to be the aggressors, which is kind of a wild thing to say. Even more wild that the French were. They declared war. And the reason that Prussia wanted this was they wanted to be able to control the narrative. It's like, yeah, the French have always been attacking us and have been aggressive towards us in order to garner support and sympathy. So the French bit, and they declared war on the Northern German Confederation in 1870. It wasn't alliances, confederation, my bad. So now all of the German forces were backing Prussia, which kicked off the Franco-Prussian War, which resulted in the Prussians and its 1,150,000 needle guns defeating the French. Prussia, which was now previously in something of a crisis a few decades before, had unified Germany, and they had created something bigger, and that was the German Empire. Now, let's talk a little bit about the what phased out the Dreyser and sort of its legacy at this point. Now, unlike other firearms that we've discussed in the series on the podcast, the Dreyser had a pretty short shelf life, all things considered. I mean, you have to understand, during the 1850s, 1860s, and 1870s, firearms innovation was just seeing such a rapid growth. And, of course, the Dreyser had limitations of its own. The British conducted trials on the Dreyser in 1849 through 1851 to see if it was fit for their military to start using. But they ultimately concluded that the Dreyser was too complicated and delicate for their needs. They actually preferred the French Minet. Rifle, and it was a criticism that had some merit. So there was a spring that would drive the needle into the cartridge to fire it. The spring itself was delicate. Furthermore, the needle itself was delicate. So, you know, when the needle would hit the paper cartridge, it was hitting very close to black powder. So the black powder would explode and cause damage to the needle. It's important to note that the needle, typically, they'd send about two or three replacement needles with each soldier, and the needle could be replaced in under half a minute, even in the field of combat. When the needle was dirty, the rifle tended to misfire. In fact, one person concluded that a new needle was required every 12 shots. When the gun was heated or when the gun was fouled, the bolts required a lot of strength to operate. The barrel tended to wear, sort of where the around where the cylinder was at. And because the breach on the Dreyser would allow a lot of gas to escape, and as you continued using the weapon, that would increase dramatically, which decreased its effective range. And speaking on that, you know, a lot of its contemporaries had more of an effective range than the Dreyser did. In particular, the chassepot, it's spelled like chassis pot, but I don't think that's how it's pronounced. And the reason that you'd have the escape of gas at the breach that I mentioned was that happened when it was using a paper cartridge. And the paper cartridge was truly one of the biggest weaknesses of the rifle. And this would be reflected when the Germans would adopt the model 1871 Mauser bolt action rifle, which fired 11.15x60mm metal cartridges. So ultimately, the Dreyse was an incredible weapon for its time, but unfortunately, its time was relatively short given the increase in how weapons were progressing. The Dreyse ended up being outdated by 1870. However, when talking about its legacy, you have to consider the impact it did have for the Prussians. Without the Prussians adopting the rifle and without the rifle performing how it did, you could argue that you wouldn't have the German Empire. The unification of Germany would end up leading to partially the entirety of the world going to war twice. Of course, it is always possible that the Prussian rise and German unification, you know, it's possible that those events would still occur without the Dreyse. However, it's also possible that it doesn't. You know, we'll probably never know for certain. But in any case, the Dreyse needle gun certainly played a part, not only in global politics, but in the development of firearms forever. Now, I know this was a brief episode, but hey, give me a break. I just gave you an hour and a half episode last week, so take it easy on me, man. I'm also in the middle of a move, so got to get back to packing boxes full of my stuff, including this microphone that I'm using right now. Now, in any case, I hope you enjoyed the episode, albeit with it being short. If you have a request for a historic firearm that you'd like us to do a little history lesson on, please let us know. Comments when this goes up on YouTube or send an email to marketing@sdi.edu. Let us know what you think. All right. So till next time, it's been real. I'm Drew Poplin. Have fun, stay safe, and we will see you at the range.
Sonoran Desert Institute is an online school accredited by the DEAC. It is headquartered at 1555 West University Drive in Tempe, Arizona. For more information about how you can craft your firearms future, visit sdi.edu.